Our streetcar is here.
Filled with holiday cheer.
I'm Jay Bradley Minnick. Today on Arts and Letters, we'll be touring Little Rock inside its holiday trolley, riding the streetcar rails and recounting the city's storied history, bound with brick and mortar, filled with ghosts and song. Holiday cheer and the history of Little Rock.
Through the lens of its architecture and buildings from Center City to North Little Rock.
And back again as we make our way along the rails, across the Main Street Bridge.
True Tales.
On Arts and Letters. We're standing on the corner of President Clinton Avenue and River Market Street, looking through the beautiful glass doors of the Arcade Building and admiring a detailed historical timeline exhibit designed by artist Tom Clifton and written by Center for Arkansas History and Culture archivist Shannon Lausch. This is a wonderful exhibit, Shannon.
Thanks, Dr. Minnick. It tells the story of the original Arcade Building in Little Rock. This new building is named after the old one.
Tell us about the Arcade Building.
It's just a few years old, but its namesake, gone long ago, persists in the memories of Little Rockers.
Because of its size and design, the original arcade left a lasting impression on visitors.
The original building sprawled across an entire city block between Louisiana and Center Streets and 6th and 7th Streets. But what most people remember is the open-ended tunnel bisecting the building, a gleaming hall of white tile which allowed people to walk through from Louisiana to Center Street. This tunnel was 20 feet wide and 300 feet long. This architectural feature, called an arcade, is how the structure received its name. The Arkansas Gazette staff fondly remembered,
"Daring young drivers would race down the tunnel, a popular pastime in the 1920s, although completely illegal."
Thanks, Dr. Stevens. I know you know a lot about the history of the Arkansas Gazette newspaper.
The wall exhibit says the building opened in 1914. Forgive me as I put on my glasses. It was like a fresh marketplace.
The first stores included Allen's Confectionery, Alltimer Dry Goods Company, Kirby's Flower Palace, and Terry Dairy Company. Over the years, the arcade changed. Specialty stores replaced grocery stores, making the arcade more like a modern-day mall. In the 1950s, retailers included the Caxton Bookstore, American Beauty Shop, and Famous Department Store.
It was actually called Famous Department Store?
Yes, the chain originated in Ottawa, Illinois, and the company became defunct in 1983. And don't forget the Pollyanna Gift Shop. Despite its attempts to adapt with changing times, the upkeep of the arcade building was neglected. And with fewer people shopping downtown, revenue was down. Developers took a critical eye toward the arcade. Remaining store owners were told to leave the building by December 31st, 1959.
Did the store owners accept their fates?
Sadly, yes. Yet they lamented leaving each other.
It says here the arcade was demolished in 1960.
Its replacement was a downtown remoter inn, later renamed the Little Rock Inn, which would later meet the same fate in the early 2000s.
But in October 2012, downtown developers announced that a new building in the River Market District would be built, and the new building would be named after the old building.
Snow angels, snow.
River Market stop.
Our streetcar is here.
Filled with holiday cheer.
Will you all join us?
Yes.
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 I must warn you that these streetcars are filled with stories.
Holiday cheer in the history of Little Rock on Arts and Letters.
Welcome aboard the Metro streetcar. I'm Keith. I'll be your operator. Welcome to the Holly Jolly streetcar trolley.
I like to tell people I have the best job on the face of the earth because I get to live out every child's fantasy, dream. I get to drive a trolley for a living. Driving the trolley, life just does not get any better than this.
Look at that. Someone has forgotten their Sunday paper.
Praise be for small miracles.
I love the Sunday paper. Sunday, November 1891.
Back in the day, the streetcars dazzled us.
People came in droves to watch the first dozen streetcars arrive in the city.
Thanks, Mr. Moses. I warned you all about this. You are, after all, with an archivist. Sir, what were Little Rock's initial fleet of streetcars like?
They consisted of 30 cars, each one costing $3,300.
That's right. The City Electric Street Railway Company started Little Rock's new light rail system.
The line expanded over the years, reaching 20 miles of track in 1900.
And then adding another 13 miles in 1910.
In 1910, Little Rock Railway, an electric company, acquired the system.
By then, there were 104 cars on the line.
Hey, Amy Joseph Anna.
Hi, how are you doing?
See, you have your guitar?
I do indeed.
Riding downtown, people passing by, chill in the air, snow falling in the sky, and I know a great way to take in the view. And if you're interested, I'll share it with you.
The streetcar reached its peak use in 1918. As car ownership became more common, use of the streetcar decreased.
No, I ain't talking walking, driving offline. Oh, no, I'm talking about that old trolley riding. Oh, yes, indeed. Hop on aboard that trolley line. We'll huddle together in this holiday weather, feeling fine.
In the 1930s, buses, a cheaper alternative, threatened the existence of the streetcar system.
I just love history, but that's kind of sad.
May I sit here, Shannon?
Sure, Mr. Austin.
I love history, too. Studied it as a boy in Imboden, Arkansas. I remember my time at Sloan Hendricks High School in Imboden. You know, Sloan Hendricks was founded by the Methodists. Well, in 1926, the Arkansas Power and Light Company took over the streetcar system and used buses to extend services beyond streetcar tracks.
Hi, Becca Green.
Hi, Becca.
Hey.
Welcome.
How's it going?
Becca, tell us just a little bit about the streetcar we're on.
Sure. Well, the streetcar system, which used to be known as the River Rail and is now the Metro Streetcar, began in 2004, really about the same time that the Clinton Presidential Center opened up. Originally, it went through a shorter track, and then in 2007, we extended the rail to reach the actual Clinton Center. Transportation Company took over the fledgling rail system in 1935. The company immediately planned to replace the streetcars with buses.
However, World War II delayed the streetcar's demise since rubber and gasoline became scarce commodities.
On Christmas Day in 1947, the remaining 9 streetcars were retired, and the streetcar era appeared to have permanently ended in Little Rock.
Another sad story.
This is Arts and Letters. Let's return to the Little Rock Holiday Trolley as we journey through the seasons of Little Rock's storied past.
Did you know this 10-story building on 2nd and Center Street was the first skyscraper in Arkansas?
Now dwarfed by the neighboring Stevens Building, the Pyramid Place was once the tallest and most impressive structure in Arkansas.
So this is Pyramid Place that you can see right outside here, and now it's occupied by Gallery 221. And it was the first skyscraper in Little Rock. So it's only 10 stories tall, so now it just seems so small in comparison to the buildings around it. But it was really exciting for Little Rock to have a skyscraper finally, because in the early 20th century it really lagged behind other cities, and there were even editorials about why don't we have a skyscraper yet, and just the Arkansas Gazette complained about it.
In a June 1906 editorial, the Arkansas Gazette vented, and I quote, "The city of Atlanta, which is not the biggest city in the South, has 16 skyscrapers." The editor then emphasized in capital letters,
"And Little Rock
has not one single skyscraper.
Has not one single skyscraper.
Has not one single skyscraper."
Thanks, Mr. Moses and Mr. Tucker.
Hi, Rhett Tucker.
Construction for Pyramid Place was already underway at the time of the editorial.
And finally, this was built in 1907, and at its grand opening, there were thousands and thousands of people streaming in just to have the luxury of seeing the very first skyscraper in Little Rock.
Known as the Southern Trust Building, its construction posed a curious sight to passersby.
Unaccustomed to seeing construction workers at great heights,
we feared for the workers' safety.
We feared for the workers' safety.
The construction workers were more concerned about falling objects hitting pedestrians.
And on New Year's Eve, 1907.
And on New Year's Eve in 1907.
And on New Year's Eve in 1907.
The Pyramid Place Building held a
grand opening.
The doors opened to an eager public at 3 p.m. and did not close until well past midnight.
The Arkansas Democrat estimated the total number of visitors was thousands upon thousands.
And in a city once devoid of skyscrapers,
Pyramid Place became an optimistic symbol of what was possible.
Optimistic.
Little Rock has outgrown its present business center,
said one real estate firm, predicting an epidemic of skyscrapers.
The newspapers were also pleased. I quote, West 2nd Street has become a Wall Street, declared the Arkansas Democrat.
Roll down the window, feel the cool air rushing past.
Now we're festive.
Driving down this back road, don't care if we ever go back.
Choctaw Station.
Called the Choctaw Passenger Station, it was once a part of the larger Choctaw Freight Terminal, connecting the city to a wider network of trade and travel.
Choctaw Station routinely attracts high-profile speakers to Little Rock through the Clinton School of Public Service.
Hello, I'm Michael Heplin, KUAR News. In its previous incarnation as a railroad passenger station, it was no stranger to celebrity.
You know all about railroads, right, Mr. Heplin?
Mostly about the Rock Island. Built in 1899, the complex was acquired by the Rock Island Railroad through a hostile takeover in 1904. Boarding streetcars to and from the Choctaw Station on March 2, 1903, John D. Rockefeller and his wife, son, daughter-in-law, and family friends explored downtown Little Rock before heading to their next destination.
Because of the impromptu nature of the visit, hardly anyone recognized them as the richest family in the United States.
We wouldn't recognize them.
The group shopped at Gans & Sons and visited the Masonic Temple, the YMCA building, the Jewish synagogue, and then finally Union Station, where they departed to St. Louis.
John D. Rockefeller Jr.'s son, Winthrop Rockefeller,
born 9 years later, would later become governor of Arkansas.
The Choctaw Freight Terminal improved the city's economy, and it also drew guests with national renown.
A presidential contender was also a visitor to the Choctaw Station. The Democratic nominee, William Jennings Bryan, traveled to Little Rock while advocating against the gold standard in his lecture, The Value of an Idea.
He arrived at the Choctaw Station and was met by local Democratic leaders. He then traveled to the Capitol Hotel, where he was staying, and then on to Concordia Hall to deliver his lecture.
Snow angels, snow angels.
Old State House. The Old State House is the oldest surviving state capitol building west of the Mississippi River.
So the Old State House really highlights the most prominent events in Arkansas history because it was the site from the succession of Arkansas in the Civil War, as well as Bill Clinton's spots where he made the presidential speech wins. And it was converted into a museum, and it continues to educate the public on Arkansas history.
epochs of Arkansas's history echo throughout the old statehouse, from the Civil War to Bill Clinton's presidential win.
The old statehouse has seen battles in its time, from the Civil War to the Brooks-Baxter War to politicians actually attacking each other within its walls.
Early on in its history, Arkansas had this rough and tumble reputation, which made sense given that there was an actual knife fight between legislators at the old state house, and one legislator was actually murdered by the other one. So that, you know, really made Arkansas have its reputation as a frontier violent state early on in its history.
Musician Brian Nolan.
Hey, Brian Nolan. How's it going, Brad?
Hi, Brian.
Welcome to the Holiday Streetcar.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Peace, love, and music.
Christmas is the time to leave our woes behind. Magic's in the air. Snowflakes fill the sky. Keep me on your mind. And I'll be home in time.
Last stop before we go over the Main Street Bridge, the Capitol Hotel.
The Capitol Hotel also has survived an armed conflict. It skirted a devastating fire, and it escaped potential demolition in its 144-year lifespan.
Only 2 years after its construction, a bloody battle during the Brooks-Baxter War was fought right outside its doors.
2 years after that, a devastating fire consumed an entire block on Markham Street in December 1876, taking with it the city's premier hotel, the Metropolitan Hotel.
So the Capitol Hotel was constructed in 1872, and it wasn't originally a hotel. 2 years after it was built, a fire on the north side of the block consumed an entire block, and because the Metropolitan Hotel, which was the city's premier hotel, was lost during that fire, they decided that the Capitol Hotel, with how stately it looked, that should be the next premier hotel of the city. The former owner of Metropolitan Hotel chose to lease the Capitol Hotel, and so it also was obviously the site of a lot of political battles because it was so close in proximity to the old state house. And so a lot of legislators, you know, given their reputation for fighting, that fight might have spilled out in front of the streets of the Capitol Hotel.
Skirmishes among politicians were not unheard of, and there was even a physical fight between two legislators involving an unopened knife and an umbrella as weapons.
There was a positive aspect to its political atmosphere. U.S. President Ulysses S. Grant stayed at the hotel, but
when downtown Little Rock faced hard times in the latter half of the 20th century, so did the Capitol Hotel.
The owners struggled to maintain the hotel.
Architect and historic preservationist Edwin Cromwell stepped in and saved the building from potential demolition in the 1980s.
Renovated to its former stateliness,
the Capitol Hotel reopened just before Christmas in 1983.
You're listening to Arts and Letters. Let's sit tight as we prepare to cross the Main Street Bridge on the Arkansas Holiday Trolley.
The Arkansas River starts in the Rocky Mountains near Leadville, Colorado, flows into the Mississippi south of Memphis. It has a navigation channel from the Mississippi to the port of Catoosa, which is just to the east of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I am thinking tonight of the Southland.
of the home of my childhood days, where I roamed through the woods and the meadows, by the mill and the brook that plays, where the roses are in bloom and the sweet magnolia too, where the jasmine is white and the fields of violet blue, there a welcome awaits all the children who have wandered afar from home. Arkansas, Arkansas, 'tis the name, dear, 'tis a place I call home, sweet home.
North Little Rock, City Hall.
Yay!
So up on the corner of City Hall, and when they were constructing City Hall, they came across this curious problem in which when they were digging at the foundation, the mules kept sinking into the ground. And try as they might, yeah, they could pull the mules out, but they weren't able to then actually dig the foundation because it would just like fill right back up again with whatever they dug up.
A bank in St. Louis inspired the City Hall's neoclassical revival style, yet the builders had to go to New Orleans to determine how to build on swampy land.
The key was cotton.
Constructing a concrete hull 14 inches thick at the bottom and sides,
workers piled hundreds of cotton bales to provide a solid foundation for the building.
Rice fields are full and the garden corn and hay, where the fruits of the field bloom in winter months in May. 'Tis the land that I love first of all, dear, and to her let us all give cheer. Arkansas.
The quicksand did not prevent them from burying a copper time capsule in the cornerstone when construction began in 1914. The box remains unearthed, which stirred debate on whether to open it for the building's centennial in 2014. Not only retrieving it could potentially damage the building, the location of the box is not exact.
The Arkansas Democrat also published a detailed list of the contents of the box, including rosters and photographs of North Little Rock's leaders,
rosters from city departments and civic organizations,
reports and news clippings concerning Argenta,
and a map of the city.
And the City Hall opened up in 1915, and they had 3,000 people attend the opening ceremonies. And it was a little bit of a bittersweet occasion because the mayor and founder of Argenta had died just a year and a half ago, so he wasn't able to actually be there, and his brother presided over the ceremony.
Snow angels, snow angels.
We're headed down Main Street.
In 1890, Little Rock annexed Argenta as its 8th ward before it could successfully incorporate on its own.
Argenta at this time was more like a rough western town than a typical small southern city.
The Memphis and Little Rock Railroad crossed Main Street, and two blocks over the east was the Little Rock and Fort Smith Railroad. Saloons dotted every block.
The Fawcett Cook Building on 4th and Main Street bears the names of railroad engineers and brothers, William C. and James P. Fawcett,
and the road contractor, Marcus D.L. Cool.
Hi, Stephen Winter.
Hey, Stephen Winter.
Mr. Brad Minnick, how are you, sir?
Doing well. I see you have this keyboard.
Yeah, the behemoth. It's with me. It's heavy.
Up until 1890, when it was annexed by Little Rock, Argenta had the reputation of a rough railroad town. Because it didn't have a municipal government and didn't really have any way to enforce laws or anything. And the Fawcett brothers were instrumental in making it an independent city.
Built in 1895, the Fawcett Cook Building provided housing for a variety of needed downtown businesses,
including a U.S. post office and Cybeck grocery store.
The second floor was a public hall dubbed Fawcett Hall,
which was often reserved for fraternal and social organizations.
The Arkansas Gazette reported on the building's construction, offering praise for its modern design and superior class.
The building now houses the Argenta United Methodist Church, Restaurante Capello, Greg Thompson Fine Art, and Mike Russell Photography.
When Little Rock did annex the city of Argenta, they felt neglected as the city's eighth ward, and so they wanted to bring back their independence. And so it was Will Fawcett who pushed toward making it independent again. In 1901, they established the city of North Little Rock, just like a mile away from Argenta. And in 1903, Fawcett helped push through the Hoxie-Walnut Ridge Bill, and that allowed any city within a mile of each other to annex each other. And the legislators didn't realize what this would mean for Little Rock. So in 1904, North Little Rock annexed Argenta, and thus Argenta became independent again.
This beautiful building on my right is the trolley barn. It's probably the most beautiful building in downtown, because it's where we keep all five of our trolleys, where they go to bed every night. They like to be read nice little happy bedtime stories, be told that they're pretty just like everyone.
I'm sad it's over.
Don't be sad, Shannon. If you stay on, we can go around again, and you can tell us about
the Joe T. Robinson Auditorium, the Pulaski County Courthouse, the Tough Nut, the Baker House, Argenta Drug Company, and oh, I forgot to mention a story about the Old State House, in which a plucky medical team helped eradicate hookworm in Arkansas.
No one wants to hear about hookworms during Christmas.
But one girl expelled 5,000 hookworms after suffering for 4 years. I bet she had the best Christmas ever.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Broadcast from the studios of KUAR in Little Rock, you've been listening to Arts and Letters. Thanks for joining us. To check out our past episodes, go to artsandlettersradio.org. Leave us a comment there and let us know what you thought about the program. Thank you to everyone who participated in this episode and who helped make the holiday bright. Thank you to musicians, the Damsels in Distress, for our theme music. Thank you to Amy Jo Savannah, Ryan Nolan, and Stephen Winter for original music and songs and for such good cheer.
A merry little Christmas.
Thank you to Charlotte Taylor and the Sisters of Harmony for their musical contributions. A special thanks to Mary Ellen Cubitt. Thanks to Mr. Chris Hickey for the stellar production. Thank you to Becca Green and the Rock Region Metro team for being so generous and helpful in allowing us access to the streetcar. Generous funding for this episode was provided by the Arkansas Humanities Council and the National Endowment for the Humanities. A special thanks to the University of Arkansas at Little Rock, Center for Arkansas History and Culture, and Shannon Lausch, archivist extraordinaire. For Arts and Letters, I'm J. Bradley Minnick. Let's heed the words of Charles Dickens. There's nothing in the world so irresistibly contagious as laughter and good humor.